Today's daf is Menachos daf Kuf Zayin. We left off toward the end of daf Kuf Vav Amud Beis. And did we read the Mishnah yesterday? I think we did, right? Yeah. So we the Mishnah told us if a person was noted to bring Eitzim or Lavona, how much he brings, the different quantity, or Zahav or Kesef or the Choshes, the different quantities that he has to bring of those items. So the Gemara is just going to go through how we know those quantities to be true. Then the Mishnah on Amud Aleph is going to discuss how much wine and oil to bring. If you didn't specify in your neder how much wine and oil you're going to bring, there's going to be Machlokas Tanaim when it comes to oil, whether it's one log of oil or three logan of oil. The Gemara is going to have two different explanations of that Machlokas Tanaim. And then the Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph is going to discuss what to bring when you didn't specify what type of animal you plan on bringing, or you did specify but you forgot what you had specified. So then what the assumptions are in terms of what you are obligated to bring. On Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss why you can't just bring the largest animal if let's say you specified but you didn't remember what you specified. So the Mishnah is going to say you have to bring every possibility. So the Gemara is going to ask, why not just bring the biggest one, and shouldn't that cover everything? And then at the end of the daf, we're going to have four different explanations of why they needed six shofaros in the Beis HaMikdash. Shofaros not in the sense of blowing a shofar, but in the sense of boxes where they kept money in the Beis HaMikdash that were used to pay for karbanos, l'keitz ha-mizbeach, whenever the mizbeach was empty. Why do they need six of those boxes? L'chora, one box of money should suffice to buy such karbanos. So the Gemara is going to have four opinions as far as that is concerned. So let's begin at the Gemara on Kufav and Beis, Tan Rabbanan. So it says Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, Karban, Melamit Shemisnadvin Eitzim. From the word Karban, we see that you can be Misnadev Eitzim. Vikama, how much Eitzim are you Misnadev? Shnei Gezirin, the assumption is that it's two blocks of wood for the Maracha. Vichenu, Omer Vagorolos, Hipalgo al Karbana Eitzim. That the Hipalno al Karbana Eitzim. So since it's plural, we see that Eitzim must be Shnei Gezirin, because the minimum of any plural is two. Rebbe Omer Eitzim Korbanheim. Rebbe says, you know, when you are Misnadev Eitzim, the Eitzim themselves have a status of a Korban, and there are significant nafkaminas for that. Tu'unin Melach, it requires salt, like a Korban, utinun Hagasha, you need Hagasha Eitzel Mizbeach. Omer Ravel, Divir Rebbe, Rebbe says, why stop there? According to Rebbe, Eitzim Tu'unin Kamitza, you should require Kamitza on Eitzim, and you should have to chop it up into tiny chips of wood so that you could do a kamitza from the Eitzim. You got to be careful, I guess, not to get splinters. Amar Papal, the Divrei Rebbe, Eitzim Tzrichin Eitzim. And Eitzim also require Eitzim to burn the Eitzim on top of the Eitzim, because everything that's burnt on the Mizbeach is burnt on the Maracha of Eitzim on the Mizbeach. So Eitzim requires Eitzim. Levona Leivchas Min HaKometz. If a person is going to commit to bring Levona, he cannot do any less than a Kometz. Min Nolan, Tichsiv, Eherim Mimenu, Bekomtzo, Misolos HaMincho Mishamna, Ves Kala Levona. So we makish Levona la rama de mincha, that we link, apparently the Torah itself links Levona to the harama of the mincha, meaning to what we take out of the mincha. Ma harama de mincha kometz, just like we remove a kometz from the carbon mincha. So af Levona nami kometz. So Levona, the assumed amount of Levona that one is misnadev, is exactly a kometz. Tan Rabbanan, and we discussed yesterday, right, that machlokas, what does that mean? If I'm a snadiv to bring a kometz, whose kometz? Because kometz is not something that's a standard size. It depends on the person. So is it the kometz of the misnadiv? Is it the kometz of the kohen who happens to be doing the avodah that day? Tan Rabban, Harei alai lemizbeach yavi levona. A person says, I'm going to bring something that is entirely lemizbeach, so he brings levona. Because the only thing that gets entirely brought on the mizbeach and no part of it goes anywhere else is the levona. Pirashti, ven yodeh ma pirashti. But if a person says, you know, I said I'm going to bring something lemizbeach, and I remember I said, I was very specific in terms of what I was going to bring to the mizbeach, but I don't remember exactly what I said, yavi mikol davar shekarv lemizbeach, then he's going to bring from everything that is brought on the mizbeach. Meaning, he brings a minchas nesachim, he brings a levona, and he brings an olas ha'of. That all of those things don't get achila the kohanim, all of those things go pretty much entirely on the Mizbech. Only one of them is mamish entirely on the Mizbech, that's Levona, but the others, Minchas Nesachim and Olas Ha'ov, don't get eaten by Kohanim, so it's pretty much entirely on the Mizbech. So if he was Mefarish, but he doesn't remember what he's Mefarish, he's got to bring all of those things. Says Gemara V'suleka, but is there nothing else? Meaning, when we said that if he's going to bring something that's entirely on the Mizbech, so it means Levona is nothing else entirely on the Mizbech. V'yika Ola, what about every Karban Ola? Karban Ola gets burnt entirely on the Mizbech. Says Gemara, Ika Ola LeKohanim. No, an Ola does not get burnt entirely on the Mizbech because the or of the Karban Ola goes to the Kohanim. Okay, but V'yika Ola Sa'ov, an Oaf doesn't have Ola LeKohanim. So what about a Karban Ola Sa'ov? Doesn't that get burnt entirely on the Mizbech? No, Ika Mora V'notza, because the Ola Sa'ov has the crop and the gizzard of the bird that does not that you throw to the place of the Trumas Hadeshen and it gets swallowed up in the ground b'derech neis, it doesn't go on the mizbech. So not the entire Ola Sa'ov goes on the mizbech either. V'yika Nesachim, what about Nesachim? L'shisa Nazi. Well, the Nesachim don't go entirely on the mizbech either because they don't get burnt on the mizbech. They go down the shisin, they go down the pipes that are built into the mizbech. V'yika Minchas Nesachim. What about a Minchas Nesachim? Doesn't that get entirely on the mizbech? Get burnt entirely on the mizbech? Kivin dika mincha dachli kohanimina lo paskile. Yeah, but mincha in general, the shame mincha is not always entirely on the mizbech. Most of the time, you bring karm mincha, the kmitza goes on the mizbech, and the rest of it, the kohanim get to eat from. So it's true, minchas nesachim is burnt entirely on the mizbech. But that's why a person wouldn't refer to a minchas nesachim as the thing that's entirely on the mizbech because minachos in general are not entirely on the mizbech. Okay, says Gemara, Re'alai Zahav. The Mishnah had said, if a person commits to bring gold, lo yifchos mi dinar zahav. He has to bring dafka a dinar of gold. Vidilma nascha. Maybe it just means like a block of gold. How do you know it means dafka a coin? Amar Blazer d'amar matbeya. Now the case must be where he said he's going to bring a matbeya of zahav, so that's why it has to be a dinar. Vidilma priti. Maybe it's a pruta, these very tiny coins that are worth almost nothing. So amar papa priti d'dahava lo avdi inchi. Who makes a pruta out of gold? You know, no one does that. Gold is a very valuable metal. They would only make more expensive coins out of gold. They would never make a pruta out of gold. Kesef lo yivchos mi dinar. Also, if a person commits to bring kesef, he has to bring at least one dinar of kesef. Says more again, v'dilman naschad. Maybe he just wants to bring a block of silver. How do you know that it means that that it's got to be a chip of silver or something? How do you know that it has to be a coin? The case must be that he said he's going to bring a matbeah, a dilma priti, but maybe it's a pruta made out of silver. That it must be a case, it must be a place where they don't make prutos out of silver. And we said if he commits to bring the choshes, then he has to bring at least one Ma'ak kesef. So says the Gemara. Tanya, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer lo yivchos mitzinora ketana shel nechoshes. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says differently than our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said if you're going to bring, you commit to bring nechoshes, you bring nechoshes that's valued at one ma'ah of kesef. Obviously, nechoshes is not the same value as kesef, but the amount of nechoshes that would be the equivalent to one ma'ah of kesef. But comes Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and he says, no, you bring a tiny fork of nechoshes, the value of what it would take to make a tiny fork of nechoshes. Well, my chazia, what would they do with a tiny fork of nechoshes in the Beis Hamikdash? What utility does that have? Amar Abayi shemechatetin bapsilos mekancha baneros. They would use it to clean out the neros of the menorah from whatever ashes are left in the neros, and to be mechatet the psilos, to stick the singed tops of the psilos into the oil to make it light better, so they would use it to clean out the neros of the menorah. So they would have these little tiny forks that were meant for that purpose. So here we have a machlokas between our Mishnah on the one hand and the Braisa quotes the Shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Now, generally speaking, whenever you have machlokas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov in anybody, one of the klalei psak is that Mishnah Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is kav v'naki. That Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov doesn't speak that frequently in Shas, so we assume it's kav. It's very measured. His dibur is very measured. He only speaks at very specific times. typically speaking, when you have that kind of person who's very careful, only speaks up every once in a while, when he speaks up, he's pretty confident. Meaning when he speaks up, he knows exactly what he's saying, and therefore we paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, because whenever he speaks, it's always kav, and therefore it's naki. We assume that whatever he says is pure, whatever he says is absolutely pristine, and is beyond question. The Rambam in Hilchos Arachim v'Charamin, Perek Beis, Halachatas, paskins, if a person says, Harei Alai, Matvei Nechoshes, Lo Yivchos Mi Ma'a Kesef, that he should give a Ma'a of Kesef, meaning the Rambam paskins, like our Mishnah, not like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So the Kesef Mishnah writes, U'b'nechoshes lo chash Rabbeinu l'Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, afal pisha mishnaso kavinaki, even though we know Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is mishnaso kavinaki, and we always pass like him, when it comes to nechoshes, the Rambam doesn't, v'pnei she'enu ela b'braisa, v'stam masnisin adif, because Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov over here appears in a braisa, and we have a stam mishnah that doesn't even mention the shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov that just says that you're supposed to give the value of a ma'a kesef. So it sounds like the Kesef Mishnah saying that the halacha always follows Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, but over here, since it's in a brisa and we have already mekubel in the rule of Mishnaso Kavanaki only applies to Mishnayis, only applies to when he speaks up in a Mishnah. Or it could be understood that it would normally apply even when it's in a brisa, but there's another klalim sak, and that is, meaning it could be that Mishnaso Kavanaki would apply even when Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov speaks in a brisa, but there's another klalim sak that halacha k'stam mishnah. So which klal is stronger? Sometimes you have conflicting klali apsak. So you have one klalim sak that always passing like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, another klalim sak always passing like a k'stam mishnah. So maybe that's what the Rambam's taking a stand on, that between those two klali apsak, halacha k'stam mishnah has to be the one that wins out. Some of the Achronim are not convinced that there's even a machlokas between Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and the Mishnah. That maybe the Mishnah is talking about where a person says matbeya shel nechoshes, so matbeya shouldn't be any less than a matbeya that's valued at a ma'a kesef. Whereas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is talking about where you just said nechoshes and you didn't say matbeya, you just said arielai nechoshes lebedek abayis. So then you're going to bring the mazlik, you're going to bring the fork. So that's how some of the Achronim understand that it's not even a machlokas, and there that's why the Rambam is not paskening against any of the known klalei psak. Okay, then we said Barzel. The Mishnah did not actually discuss Barzel, but we're going to discuss Tanya Achirim Amlo Yichus Mikalya Orev. That when you commit to bring Barzel, it has to be the amount that's large enough to make the Kalya Orev. What is a Kalya Orev? Says Rashi, Mismaros Chadin Toch. That on top of the heichal they built these pointy things out of barzel so that a bird can't land on the top of the heichal. It would be a bizayon if a raven landed on the heichal. So they built these pointy things that could impale somebody. So that's what they have, like we have on the top of the shul now. So that's what they built on. I don't think it's staying like that, but that's what they built on top of the on top of the heichal. The kama, how much is that? I'm Rav Yosef, ama al ama. It's one ama by one ama. Ikadar milo yivchos me ama al ama. Others say it can't be any less than ama al ama, meaning that was the original statement. And we ask, oh, lamai chazi, what are you going to do with an ama by an ama of barzel? I'm Rav Yosef, kalya orev. Oh, what do you mean? What will you use it for? You use it for kalya orev. So there's a lot of discussion around this kalya orev. Rabbeinu Chananel writes that in Bayis Rishon they didn't have a kalya orev because there was so much kedusha in Bayis Rishon that no birds would fly on it, so you didn't need a kalya orev, right? There's this notion that birds can't fly over that which has great intense kedusha. That's the Gemara Masechta Sukkah, right? That the Shmonim Talmidim of Hillel, that Rabbi Yonason ben Aziel, when he would sit and learn the birds that would fly over. No, the Katan Shabakulan, right? What was it? It was the Gadol Shabakulan, Rabbi Yonason ben Aziel, that when the birds would fly overhead, they would burn because the Malachim would come and come to hear his Torah, that there was this intense kedusha over his head. So says Rabbi Chananel, there was no less intense kedusha over the Bayis Rishon, because of the intensity of Kedusha, so that the Orev would never be there. Tosus raises the question that the Gemara Moed Katan point is Mashma, the Bayis Rishon that Shlomo HaMelech built, did have a Kalya Orev on top of it. And Tosus says that it could be that Shlomo HaMelech built it there because he didn't know what level of Kedusha would actually be Shara in it. He was just building the building. And then once they had that level, level of Kedusha, once he realized that there was Zochah to that level of Hashraz HaShchina, they then later removed it. So that could be as well. Well, the Chaz de David suggests differently. He says that the Gemara in Moikadim, when it says that Shlomo HaMelech needed to be Mishayir or Kala Orev, it's only speaking B'darach Mashal. It's saying that there were certain things that weren't part of the Etzem Habinyin that Shlomo HaMelech had to be concerned about, and just the easiest example of something that's not really Me Etzem Habinyin is this Kalya Orev. Tiferes Yisrael just points out in the commentary on the Mishnayos and Maseches Midos that how could they put on the roof of the Heichal a Kala Orev that's made out of Barzel? When it comes to Avnei HaMizbeach, it says Lo Sanef Aleihem Barzel, and the same is true by Avnei Binyan HaHeichal, that you're not allowed to have any Barzel that goes to cutting the stones of the Mizbeach or of the Heichal. So you suggest that maybe it's only on the walls of the Heichal that there's an Isser that Barzel touches it, but over here the Kala Orev between the Kala Orev and the Heichal, there was a Tikro Maziva, there was a roof in between them that was Mafsik between the walls of the Heichal, so it wouldn't be a violation of having Barzel in association with the Heichal. But this also comes up la'alacha, this notion of Kala Orev. The Shulchan Aruch writes, for example, in Aruch Chaim Simen Kuf Nun, the Shulchan Aruch writes that you're supposed to build the Beis HaKnesses Begova Shalir, that the Beis HaKnesses should be the highest point in the city, and you make it taller than any other buildings of the city. Once again, we're fulfilling that as well. You're supposed to make it the tallest building in the city. So the Rama writes that if a Beis HaKnesses is taller than any other building in the city, even on one side. Sometimes the roof of the building is not flat, but even on one end, so it's good enough. Meaning, as long as there's some point of the Beis HaKnesses that goes higher than anything else, that's good enough. So Magen Avraham says, I've seen, he says, some people, they build a Beis HaKnesses. It's not the tallest one in the city. So you know what they do? They do the old, what was the World Trade Center trick? Or the what? Yeah, the spire, right? They take a stick and they stick it on top of it, and now it's the tallest building. So Magen Avraham says, "Come on, that's cheating. That doesn't count. Right? If you're just going to stick a stick all the way up in the air on top of the Beis HaKnesses, that doesn't count. The Beis HaKnesses itself has to be gavoa mishara batim. So it could be that depends on how you understand our sugya. Rashi writes that they had this kala orev on top of the Heichal, and in Maseches Midos there's a Machlokas Tanaim. According to the Tanakama, on the Gag of the Heichal there was a Makkah that was 3 amos tall, and on top of that was one more Amma of Kalya Oriv, and that's how they were Mashlim the Mea Amos that was the height of the Heichal. It was the Heichal itself is 96 to the rooftop, and then on top of that is a Makkah and a Kalya Oriv. So one Tana holds that the Makkah was only Gimel, Kalya Orev was another Amma, and that equaled the 100. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says the Kalya Orev is not part of the measurement of the Dalet Amos. So they had a Makkah that was Dalet Amos, and on top of that was Kalya Orev, but Kalya Orev doesn't count toward the 100. So in the Sefer Nezira Shimshon, he points out that the comment of the Magen Avraham is totally in those two deos in Tanaim, meaning does a Kalya Orev that's not part of the function of the Binyan, does that count toward the height of the Binyan? So you want to say that the Beis HaKnesses has to be Gavoa Mikol Habatim, so does anything that's there, that's physically there, but not part of the actual Binyan, does that count toward the height of the Binyan, is subject to this Machlokas Tanaim. The Mishnas Yosef, however, writes that it could be that Dafka, when you have many different posts that are on top, right next to each other, according to the Tanakama, it gets counted together with the Gova Abayis. I mean, it could be all Tanaim would agree that stick of spire doesn't do anything. The Kalya Orev might count because that was all around the whole walls of the Heichal, the whole Maka on top of the Heichal. So maybe that would count, but just to stick a spire in the top would not count. In Shuvas Minchas Lazar, he says, if you give it some sort of functionality, or even just some sort of beauty, it's not just stam a stick, but it adds something to the aesthetics of the building, then that would still count if it adds to the aesthetics of the building. Another issue that comes up la halacha related to this Kalya Orev is there's a discussion about when you have to build a ma'aka and when you don't. In the in the Sefer Ezra's Kohanim, the Maseches Midos, and all this is quoted in the Pinini Halacha section of the Masifta, he says that the Gag of the Beis HaMikdash was not Asri the Tashmish, it was not made to be used, but they still had to make a ma'aka around it, because and he brings a raya from there that even when you only go sometimes on a rooftop, you have to be misake ne ma'aka on top of the roof, even for the occasional visit, even though you're not going to go frequently on that rooftop. So in the Sefer Shevet HaKahasi, he writes that the Kalya Orev worked so that Orvim wouldn't sit on the Gag. But if they flew above the Gag, it could still be that they would have droppings, or Davar Tameh, or they would drop dead and land on the Gag, and they'd have an Avela sitting there. So for that reason, they had to go up every once in a while to clean it off. So that's why they needed a Makkah on the roof. So that's the discussion in the poskim. What kind of roof needs a makkah? Only a roof that's going to be used. But how much usage? So apparently in the Beis HaMikdash it was very infrequent usage, but it was every once in a while they would have to go there to clean up, to make sure that there was no davar tameh on the roof. So that apparently is enough of a reason to require a makkah. Okay, says the Gemara for the Mishnah now. Says the Mishnah on Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph. Harei alai yayin. The person who commits is going to bring yayin to the Beis HaMikdash. So lo yifchos mishlosh lugin. He has to bring at least 3 lug of yayin. Shemen lo yifchos milug. If he says he's going to bring shemen, then it needs to be at least 1 lug of shemen. Rebbe Omer shlosh lugin. Rebbe says that it's got to be 3 lugin of shemen when he commits to bring shemen. Pirashti ve'en yodei ma pirashti yavi ki yom meruba. But if he says I said a specific amount, I just don't remember what that specific amount is, then he has to bring as much as the day that has the highest quantity would require. He has to bring that much on a kiyom meruba, and the Gemara will explain what that is exactly. Tan Rabbanan, Ezrach, the pasuk says Ezrach. Rashi points out in the parsha of Nesachim it says Kala Ezrach Yasa Kacha. So it's an extra word in the pasuk. Melamit shemisnad v'nyayim. We see from there that it could be misnadev yayim v'kama. How much? Shlosh alukin. Uminayim shemratzal lahosik Yosef. How do I know you could add extra? Tamalomar yihiya yochol yifchol. So you might think you could do even less. Tamalomar kacha. That's why it says kacha. Shemen lo yifchos min alog. Rebbe yomer shlosh alukin. Shemen you can't do any less than a log. Rebbe says 3 log. So b'mayka mefgi amru aban kameid rav papa bedon mina umina bedon mina va. What is this machlokas about, whether it's 1 log of shemen or 3 log of shemen? So 2 possibilities. First possibility the Gemara raises is they're arguing in general in terms of how to darshan when you learn one thing from another. So when you learn A from B, do you take all of the rules of B and apply it to A, or do you take the principle from B and apply it to A, but then the details are going to be the details of A that you are that you're going to apply? So that's the machlokas over here. Abundant Savri don mina umina. The Rabbanan say you take everything from the melamed. So since we are deriving the halacha from a carbon mincha, ma mincha misnad v'naf shemen nami misnad, then the basic halacha that you can be misnad if shemen is derived from the fact that you can be misnad if a mincha, so we take all those details. Umina ma mincha belog av shemen belog, that just like mincha is a log, so shemen also is a log, and that's how we get that amount. Rebbe says no, don minova uki basra, you can derive from mincha, but then the details as you apply them are not going to be from mincha, they're going to relate to shemen. Ma mincha misnadev shemen nami misnadvin, just like your misnadev mincha, so to your misnadev shemen. So yeah, that ikar halacha we derive from mincha, but v'uki basra ki nesachim, that shemen is nesachim, so we would treat shemen like other nesachim. Ma nesachim shloshes lugin av shemen nami shloshes lugin, that just like nesachim the standard is 3 log, so shemen also, when you misnadev shemen, it's going to be 3 log of shemen. So Amar Rav Papa, imi mincha gamar la Rebbe. Yeah, Rav Papa says I disagree. If Rebbe really would have derived this from mincha, like you're suggesting, then to call me al pligi don mina umina. Everyone would say it would be 1 log, and you derive everything from karbon mincha. El Rebbe me ezrach gamir la. But Rebbe does not derive it from mincha. He learns it from ezrach, which is how we derived yayin. Right? If you look at Rashi, me ezrach gamar la ki hechi de gamir la el yayin. And therefore, it's the domino mina. You're deriving it from yayin. It's always going to be shlosha shlosha lugin, just like a yayin is shlosha lugin. Amalei Rafuna Breda Rav Nosson Rav Papa Umi Matzamerachi. Can you really say that? Are you sure that Rebbe is going to say that we are darshaning not from that we're learning the din that you can be misnadev shemen not from mincha but from yayin? Va'atanya korban melamed shemisnadev shemen. That it says korban teaches us that we're misnadev shemen, meaning we're learning it from mincha, not from yayin. Vekama, and how much? Shloshes lugin, three lugin. Well, whose shita is it that it's three lugin? Man shamalei damer shloshes lugin? Rebbe, that's the shita of Rebbe. Vekamaisi, lami karbon. And look, it says beferish in the Braisa that we're not learning it out from yayin, we're learning it out from karbon. Amalei itanya tanya. He says, okay, if you have such a Braisa, so what am I going to do? It's a beferish of Braisa. But I would have thought that logically one could have suggested otherwise, but now that you tell me that, so then there's nothing to argue about. The machlokas must be about domino mina or domino v'uki ba'asra, which causes an interesting problem, because the Rambam paskins that someone who says harela yayin lo yivchos mishlosh lugin, harela shemen lo yivchos milog echad, that you would always do one log, which is the shita not of Rebbe but the shita of the Chachamim var Mishnah. And the Gemara explained, what do the Chachamim hold? Harela shemen, you bring only log echad because don mina umina, you derive everything from korban mincha. You say don mina umina, not don mina v'uki ba'asra. So the Tos Yantif and the Birchas HaZevach point out that in the 7th parak of Hilchos Shavuos and in the 9th parak of Hilchos Shavuos, the Rambam seems to assume don mina v'uki ba'asra. It's a little involved to go through the whole sugi in Shavuos Tav Lamed, where you have this machlokas, but the Rambam in another machlokas seems to pass in don mina v'uki ba'asra. Now they're two totally separate machlokas that have absolutely nothing to do with each other, but the methodology to arrive at the psak is the same. So you would imagine that the Rambam should be consistent in terms of which methodology we paskin like. Some of the acronym, the Birchas HaZevach and others, suggest that maybe the chiluk is whether the limud comes through a gzera shava versus whether it comes through a hekesh. That whenever the limud is through a gzera shava, where we see the melamed, is we view the melamed as if it was written in the nilmud, and then we would say don mina v'uki ba'asra, that as if the nilmud is the asra, right, that which is being learnt to, and you don't have to apply all the dinim of the melamed. But whenever it's a hekish or a riboy, then we'd say don mina umina, meaning you don't have to be consistent that it's always going to be don mina umina or don mina v'uki ba'asra. It could depend on the type of limud. It could be that gzera shava more lends itself to uki ba'asra and hekish more lends itself to don mina umina, and that's one of the many ways that the Acharim suggest to be miyashiv this shitas harambam. Okay, so says the Gemara further now, and the last line of the Mishnah we had said, Pirashti v'en yudah ma pirashti yavi kiyom meruba, that if a guy doesn't remember exactly what he said, he knows he was very specific, but to bring a certain amount of wine or a certain amount of shemen, but he doesn't know how much wine or how much shemen, so he brings kiyom meruba, the amount that you would bring on the day that you bring the most of that karban. So Tana, so the Braisa tells us, kiyom tov rishon shel chag shechalios b'shabbos. What is that day? With the first day of Sukkot that falls out on Shabbos, because they bring, that's the day of the most karbanos of the whole year, because they have to bring 13 parim, shnei elim, arba asar kvasim liola, si'ir echa lechatas, shnei kvasim of the musfei haShabbos, shnei kvasim of a karban tamid, and the nesachim that you bring for all of those karbanos together is 140 log of shemen and 140 log of yayin. So that's a massive amount. So if a person just says, I know that I was mefarish a specific amount of yayin and a specific amount of shemen, I just don't remember how much, so then the answer is 140 log, because that's how much you would require on the day that has the most karbanos. Okay, new Mishnah now. Says the Mishnah at the bottom, Harei alai ola yavi keves. If a person says, I'm going to bring an ola, he brings a keves, a male ola, because that's the smallest of the olos behema. So he only has to bring, he didn't specify which, so that his statement only committed him to that which would qualify as an ola. So keves is perfectly good. Rav Elazar ben Azariah omer otor o ben yona. No, he could go even smaller. He could bring an ola sa'of, a tor or a ben yonah, he doesn't have to bring a behema b'chlal. He just said he's going to bring an ole. He never said olas behema. But what if he says pirashti min abakar v'niyadem pirashti? I was mefarish that I'm going to bring an ole min abakar, but I don't know what type of bakar I mentioned. So yavi par v'egel. He has to bring both possibilities: a par, which is a male bull, two or three year old male bull, and an egel, which is also male, because an ole is always male. That's younger, right? So he has to bring both possibilities. What if he says mina behema? I committed to bring an ola mina behema. I didn't say bakar. I was more broad in the category. I didn't say nothing. I didn't just say ola, but I wasn't so specific to say bakar. I said mina behema, from an animal. Veni yodeh ma pirashi. But I don't remember what type of animal. So yavi parve egel ayil satir gediu tle, meaning he didn't say the words mina behema. He said he's going to bring an ola. He's going to bring an ola, and he says, I know for sure I specified what kind of animal, and I know that it was definitely a behema, the kind of animal that I specified. I just don't remember which kind of behema I specified. So you got to bring every possibility: a par, an egel, an ayil satir gediu tle. All of those things are behemas that are right for a korban ola. So he has to fulfill every possibility. Pirashti ve'in yodeh ma pirashti. If he says that when I said I was going to bring carbonola, I definitely was mefarish, but I don't know what I was mefarish. So then he has to bring Mosef Alein Toru Ben Yonah, meaning he didn't know for sure that he even had said mina behema. He just knows that he was specific about what type of animal to bring. So now he even has to bring birds in addition to all the other animals we just mentioned. Harei Alei Toda Ushlamim. Let's say a person stam says I'm going to bring Toda Ushlamim, but he doesn't specify anything. So Yavi Keves, he brings the smallest animal that's kosher for a Toda Ushlamim, which is a keves. Pirashti, but if he says I was mefarish that I'm going to bring a Toda Ushlamim min bakar, and I said I was going to bring it from bakar, vein yodeh ma pirashti, but I don't remember which kind of bakar I had specified. So Yavi, now that we're talking about a Toda Ushlamim, it could be even from a female. So now it's not going to be enough to bring a par and egel. Yavi par upara, female as well. Egel ve'egla, female as well, because the Toldu Shlamim could be both Mina Zecharim and Mina Nekevos, and he doesn't know which one he said. Mina Behema, if he says that I know that I had said Mina Behema, but I don't know, Ve'ni Yodeh Ma'pirashi, I don't know which type of Behema I had mentioned. So now, every type of animal we said before, male and female, Yavi Paru Para, Egel Ve'egla, Ayelu Rechela, Sa'iru Si'ira, Gediu Gedila, Ugedia, Tala Vitalia, all of these types of animals are Ra'ui for a Toldu Shlamim, because they could be brought min habakar, min hatzor, min hazchar, min hanekevos. So he has to fulfill every possibility. Harei alai shor, yavi hu unachasav bimana, unasachav bimana. If he says that I'm going to bring a shor for an olor shlamim, so now we know exactly what he said. He said a shor. So the value of the shor plus the nasachim should be valued at one of the nasachim that go along with it should be valued at one mana. Rashi writes, how do we know this? Torah Shebal Peh. This must be part of the Torah Shebal Peh, that there is a specific value assigned to the karban when he didn't say anything about the value. He just committed to bring a shor, so it has to be worth the mana. If he said egel yavihu nesachav b'chamesh, then it's going to be five slotim. Ayil, if he said he's going to bring an ayil for either an ola or a shlamim, yavihu nesachav b'shtayim, so then the ayil together with the nesachim should be worth two slotim. Keves, if he said he's going to bring a keves for an ola or a shlamim, yavihu nesachav b'sela, it should be worth one sela. Let's say he says shor b'mana, he says he's going to bring a shor worth a mana, he specifically said a mana, yavi b'mana chutz b'nesachav. So in that case, it's not the shor plus the nesachim that are worth a mana, it should be the shor alone is worth a mana, plus the nesachav outside of that mana. Egel b'chamesh, if he said he's going to bring an egel b'chamesh, yavi b'chamesh chutz b'nesachav, he has to bring an egel that itself is worth five slayim, and then the nesachim on top of that. Ayil b'shtayim, yavi b'shtayim chutz minesachav. Keves b'sela, yavi b'sela chutz minesachav. So even though there are specific amounts that are designated for each of these animals, when you specify those amounts, then you have to assume that that amount does not include the nesachim. When you don't specify, then the amount includes the nesachim as well. Shor b'mana v'hevi shnayim. What if a person says, I'm going to bring a shor worth a mana, and he brings two shvarim b'mana, that together are worth a mana. So he's bringing the same value, lo yad. He He's not Yotze his neder because he said he was going to bring a shor worth of mana. Va'afilu zeh b'mana chaser dinar v'zeh b'mana chaser dinar. Even if each one is worth 99% of a mana, just a tad under a mana, and he's bringing two of them, so he's bringing something worth so much more than a mana. Still no good because he said he was going to bring a shor b'mana. It's got to be one that's worth a mana. This is quoted in a tshuva in the Torah Lishma. The Torah Lishma in Simkuf Samach Gimel was asked by someone who was noder to fast two consecutive days. Someone took a neder to fast two consecutive days. We don't recommend trying this at home. And the person had heard, B'shem Di Arizal, that if a person fasts two consecutive days, that's the equivalent of fasting 27 days. Two consecutive is the equivalent of 27 days that are separate from each other. So the person wanted to know, can he now fast 27 days to be Yotzei his neder of fasting two consecutive days? Because two consecutive sounds like it's going to be a little bit too challenging for him. So the Torah Lishma brings a raya from our sugya, that if a guy says he's going to be Masana Chavzai and Yam that are not Mitzufim, to be Mashal the neder, I think it was the other way. He said he's going to fast 27 days. He wanted to know if he could just fast two consecutive days. So it's not going to work. Why? Because our Mishnah says, "Hare Elai Shor B'mana," and you bring Shnei Shvarim B'mana. He's not Yotzei Yechiv. So it's not about what it's worth in the end. It's about being Mekayim Diburo. And if you committed to say two consecutive days Shnei Yomim Mitzufim, then it's got to be two consecutive, even though the value of two consecutive days may be Al Pi the Arizal 27 separate days. And we're not questioning the Arizal. That may be true, but that's not what you had said you're going to do. So that's what the Torah Lishma suggested, that he has to do whatever it was that he actually had committed to do. Okay, then the Mishnah goes on to say, let's say a person says, Shachar vehevi lavan. He said he's going to bring a black ox, and he brings a white ox. Lavan vehevi shachar, or a white one, and he brings a black one. Gadol vehevi katan, or he says he's going to bring a big one, and he brings a little one. Lo yotzi, he's not yotzi, he's neder. What if he does the opposite, though? He brings better than he said. Katan vehevi gadol. He had committed to bring a small one, now he's bringing a big one. So that is a machlokas. Yotza, Rebbe Yomer lo yotza. So Tanakama says you are Yotzei, Yesh Bechal Masayim Mana, and if you're bringing if you committed to bring a small one, now you bring a big one, you're doing even better. The Bechal HaMeruba, you have the Muat, and Rebbe says Lo Yotza, because you didn't bring what you said you were going to bring. So that's also a discussion in Poskim. Tosfos over here points out, what's the story with the black and the white? Well, what difference? Big and small, I understand. Big is better than small. It's more, you're giving more. Black and what difference does it make? What color the animal is? So Tosa points out that Shachar Vevi Lavan Chalukim Kitzas Kedam Parakei Denazir or Parakam Uchma Lamashchei Sumka Labisrei Chiver LeRadio, that we assume that different color animals have different things that they're good at, that either they produce better meat or they produce or they're better for plowing. So they're different things. There's a tshuva in Chalkas Yaakov in Yardeh Sumkuf Mem Aleph, whether a person who was no there to provide Ner Lamar Neros for the Beis HaKnesses, can he just pay the electric bill, or does he have to provide actual Neros? So the Shaul wanted to say that no way could he pay the electric bill, because it says in our Mishnah, Hare Elai Shor Shachar, and he brings Lavan, or Lavan Vevi Shachar, he's not Yotzei his Neder, because he didn't bring Kamosha Nadar. And even though Tosaf says it's because they have different qualities, black and white, have different Teva, like the Gemara says in Nazir, so it sounds like if there's no Chilik between one and the other, then you can make slight changes. But he says there is a difference between the kind of light that you get from electric light and the kind of light you get from a ner. But then anyway, the Chalukas Yaakov says, probably when you commit to bring neros, it's because ner neshamos, they used to light yahrzeit candles in shul. So you're going to give electric bulbs. That's not the minhag. The minhag is people don't light electric bulbs as yahrzeit candles, so it would not be good. Unless that's the minhag of the shul, then it's understood that that's what the person meant to do. Anyway, so says Mar Avlo Pligi. Tanakam and Rav Lozer ben Azariah are not in disagreement with each other when they said Hare Elai Ola. Tanakama said you bring a keves, and Rav Lozer ben Azariah said a tar and a ben yona. They're not arguing. Mar Kiasrei. It's just that in each place one was worth less than the other. You could bring the smallest one. So which is the smallest one? Different places had different smallest. Tan Rabban Hare Elai Ola b'selah lemizbeach yavi keves. Shein l'chadavr shekarv b'sela legam mizbeach al keves shekarv b'sela. If a person says I'm bringing olah worth a sela, so then it's a keves. Pirashi v'ni yadei ma pirashi. If he says I said I was going to bring something worth a sela, and I said a specific kind of animal, but I don't remember what kind of animal I said, then yavim mikaldav shekarv b'sela legam mizbeach. Then you have to bring anything that's worth a sela. Pirashi mina bakar v'ni yadei ma pirashi. I said I'm going to bring mina bakar, but I don't remember what. Yavi par ve'egel. Then he has to bring a par and an egel. Amai v'lesi par miman of shach. Why can't he just bring a par, which is the bigger of the two, and shouldn't that cover everything? No, Hamani Rebbe, he damar katan vevi gadol lo yatsa. The beginning of the Mishnah must be assuming like Rebbe, that if you said you're going to bring something small and you bring something big, then you're not yotzei. Well, it's frankly Gemara, e Rebbe, if the beginning of the Mishnah is going like Rebbe, how do you read the end of the Mishnah? Ema seifa, shor b'mana vevi shnayim b'mana lo yatsa, v'afilu zeb b'mana chasadinar v'zeb b'mana chasadinar, shachar vevi lavan, lavan vevi shachar, gadol vevi katan lo yatsa. We don't need any of that. The main thing that we're quoting is the next line. Katan vehevi gadol yatsa. That katan vehevi gadol tanakama says you are yotze. Rebbe omer lo yatsa. And then Rebbe disagrees with the tanakama. So how can you tell me that the tanakama is Rebbe? Reisha v'sefer Rebbe u'mitziasa rabbanan. The very beginning of the Mishnah is Rebbe. The very end of the Mishnah is Rebbe. And in the middle we just have a sheet of the rabbanan thrown in. That's highly unusual. Says Gemara. Yes, highly unusual, but not impossible. In Reisha and that's simply what we're saying, is that Rebbe is the author of the first part of the Mishnah, but no one disagrees with him. And then on that last halach of Katan Vehevi Gadol, that happens to be a machlokas between Rebbe and the Rabbanan. Okay, Bez Hashem, we'll pick up with Tanan Hassam tomorrow.